Let us now discuss the laws which pertain to the manufacture and to the sale of drugs. So there are several acts relating to the manufacture and sale of drugs in India. Among them, the following laws operate at present in the country. They are Drugs and Cosmetic Act of 1940, the Pharmacy Act 1948, the Drugs and Magic Remedies, basically the Objectionable Advertisement Act made of 1954, the Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances Act 1985, and the Poisons Act of 1919. The Drugs and Cosmetics Act of 1940. Let's discuss this. Well, the object of this act is to regulate, first is the import, manufacture, distribution, and the sale of drugs. So under the provisions of this act, the central government appoints the Drug Technical Advisory Board to advise the central government and the state government on technical matters arising out of the administration of this act. So, you know, the central government, there is a Drug Technical Advisory Board which will advise the government on technical matters arising out of the administration of this act. The central government at the same time may also constitute the Drug Consultative Committee, and the main function of this committee is to advise the central government and the state government and the Drugs Technical Advisory Board on any matter tending to secure uniformity throughout India in the administration of this act. The Drug and Cosmetic Act prohibits import of any drug or cosmetic which is not of standard quality. So, if the quality is not standard, import of such a drug or cosmetic is prohibited. Any misbranded drug or spurious cosmetics, any adulterated or spurious drugs, any drug or cosmetic for the import for which a license is prescribed, any patient drug if it is not labeled in the prescribed manner displaying all the details of the drug, you know, the formulations, manufacture date, everything. Any drug which claims to cure and mitigate disease prescribed. So all these categories, it prohibits the import of these drugs. Any cosmetic containing unsafe or of harmful ingredient, and any drug for which import is banned. So there are certain drugs for which import is banned. The central government has been given powers to import and manufacture for sale or distribution of such drugs which are therapeutically irrational or which involves risk to human beings or animals. So the central government and the state governments can also appoint analysts with prescribed qualification for specified drugs. The government may also appoint inspectors who may possess the requisite qualifications, and the inspectors can inspect any premise wherein any drug is being manufactured and take samples for which a fair price will be paid. The inspector, on suspecting the quality of the drug, will get it tested at the government by the government analyst who will deliver the report and will be taken as conclusive evidence in the court. So the Drug and Cosmetic Act has been amended in 1945, 1964, 72, 82 and 86. The comprehensive amendments to the act were made in 1964 and 1982. So what were the amendments? Let's see that. The object of the amendment was twofold. First, to bring Ayurvedic and Unani drugs which were till then not covered by the law within the scope of this act, and I think that's a very important and a good move that was done. Secondly, to prohibit the import, manufacture, sale, etc. of adulterated, misbranded or substandard drugs. Why this was important was, you know, there were so many Ayurvedic and Unani drugs which were openly sold throughout the country, you know, without any laws applicable to them. And many people in the name of these drugs were selling false things or misbrand or unbranded drugs in the name of Ayurvedic preparation. So the whole object of the amendment was to get the Ayurvedic and the Unani drugs within the scope of this act. The punishment for contravening the provision of the law has been enhanced. Anyone convicted second time for an offence under clause A of section 27 will be imprisoned for not less than 2 years, and it may extend to 10 years, and he'll also be liable to fine. So in clause B of the same section, for the word 5 years, the word 10 years have been substituted. The Drug and Cosmetic Act of 1982 came into force with effect from 1st February 1983. The main amendment made are the definition of the term drug has been enlarged. Preparations used for repelling insects like mosquitoes, all substances intended for use as components of drugs including empty gelatin capsules and the devices used in diagnosis, treatment, etc. of diseases to be notified are drugs. Definitions of misbranded adulterated drugs have been rationalized. A new term, spurious Ayurvedic Siddha or Yunani drugs, has been provided for the first time. Similar misbranded or spurious cosmetics and misbranded and adulterated Ayurvedic Siddha drugs have been defined. So, you know, a lot of amendments have been made, and the term drug, which was initially very specific to medicine, now it covers a lot of encompasses, a lot of other things also. The central government has now acquired a power to ban by notification import and manufacture of such drugs which involve risk to human beings or animals or are therapeutically unsound. Punishment for various contraventions of the provision of the act have also been rationalized. For a drug which is adulterated and is likely to cause death or grievous hurt, imprisonment of not less than 5 years, which may extend to life, has been provided. This is very important. For adulterated and spurious drugs, the punishments are up to 3 years and 5 years respectively. Powers of these inspectors have been increased or have been enhanced. They can now stop and search any vehicle or vessel or any other conveyance. Provision has been made for summary trial of offences under this act. So, you know, powers of the this drug inspectors have also been enhanced. Basically, you know, the whole idea of this act was, since these drugs are consumed by humans, even for that matter animals, you know, anything which is given for treatment has to be up to the standards. Whatever regulations have to be followed or have to be there, because a lot of cases of pharma companies which were, you know, not in proper places, the manufacturing procedures were faulty, have been brought to notice because of in recent times. And all these measures have been a step to see to it that, you know, companies follow proper procedures when manufacturing of drugs. The Drugs and Cosmetic Amendments of the Act 1986, Section 26 to 32 have been amended, and this empowers any person of consumer association to take samples of drugs for test, analysis, and they can also prosecute firms for manufacture or sale of substandard drugs. As we just discussed, you know, if they are finding any of the drugs which are substandard, so immediately the manufacturer, they can prosecute the firms of manufacturers of such substandard drugs. Let us now discuss the Pharmacy Act of 1948. This act was passed in 1948 and was later amended in the year 1959, 79 and 84. The aim of this act was basically to regulate the profession of pharmacy in India, which until then was not done in a very proper and a regulated way. The Central Pharmacy Council, under the provision of this act, the central government constituted a Central Pharmacy Council of India, which consists of the following members: 6 members from the teachers of pharmacy, 6 members from practicing pharmacist or pharmaceutical chemists holding a degree of diploma, 1 member elected by the Medical Council of India. So this is typically the council: the Director General of Health Services, the Director of the Central Drug Laboratory, the Chief Chemist, Central Revenues, 1 member to represent each state, elected members of the state councils who shall be a registered pharmacist, 1 member to represent each state government who shall be either registered medical practitioner or a registered pharmacist. So now, with the approval of the central government, this central council, which consists of all these members, they prescribe the minimum standard of education required for qualification as a pharmacist. So, you know, now pharmacy is also one of the courses that many students are opting for, because previously it was not a very very much in demand course, but now with the law being so strict, all the medical stores, if you see, they need to have a pharmacist, so that, you know, the drugs which are prescribed by the doctor, exactly they are given. And because many of the medical stores who employ people who are not qualified enough to dispense these drugs, if in case they give a wrong medication, you know, it can prove fatal. Executive committee also appoints inspectors to inspect these institutions. Whatever course materials has been the course material has to be approved to attend the approved examination, and to expect any institution whose authorities have applied for the approval of its course. The State Pharmacy Council. The Act makes it incumbent upon the state government to constitute the state pharmacy councils with the following members: 6 members elected from amongst themselves by the registered pharmacist from the state. Of the state, 5 members, of whom at least 2 shall be persons possessing a prescribed degree or diploma in pharmacy or pharmaceutical chemistry, or members of the pharmaceutical profession nominated by the state government. One member elected by the state medical council, the chief administrative medical officer of the state drug controller, and the government analyst. Two or more state government can enter into an agreement for constitution of the joint state council, or the council of one state can serve the needs of the other. Registration of the pharmacist. The state government has under the provisions of the Pharmacy Act to get a register of the state pharmacist prepared, and it is the state pharmacy council which has to maintain the register. So, you know, any student who passes out of the pharmacy college, he has to get himself registered. The name of the pharmacist can be removed from the register if the register is satisfied that the name has been entered by error, or it is an account of misrepresentation or suppression of the material fact. The pharmacist has been convicted of offense or quality of infamous conduct, or the pharmacist employed a person for the purpose of his business of pharmacy who has been convicted of an offense or has been guilty of an infamous conduct. So in all these scenarios, the name of the pharmacist can be removed from the register and his license stands cancelled. The penalty for false claim. If any person falsely claims to be a registered pharmacist and uses such words with his name so as to suggest that his name is so entered, makes himself liable for conviction and fine up to 500 rupees. On subsequent conviction for such offence, he may be imprisoned up to 6 months and also fined. So, if a person is falsely claiming himself to be a pharmacist and he is using such words to claim himself, then he is liable for conviction. The Drug and the Magic Remedy is Objectionable Advertisement Act of 1954. This is very important. In India, we have seen a lot of such miracle drugs which were previously very much there. Even nowadays, we see a couple of them being advertised, but one has to be very cautious about these things. Let us study this act in detail. The Drug and the Magic Remedies Act prohibits a person from taking part in publication of any advertisement referring to any drug which suggests the use of the drug for the procurement of miscarriage in women, or prevention of conception in women, or the maintenance of improvement of the capacity of human being for sexual pleasure, the correction of menstrual disorders in women, the diagnosis and cure, mitigation, treatment or prevention of any general disease. So, you know, we see a lot of false advertisements claiming magical powers of a particular drug. All such advertisements, people should not participate in that, nor they should give any articles claiming the magical remedies of a particular drug. The Poisonous Act of 1919, the object of this act is to console the laws regulating the importation, possession and the sale of poisons. The government can also fix fees for such licenses and decides about the class of persons whom the license should be granted to, the class of persons to whom alone the poison may be sold, the maximum quantity which may be sold, the register that vendors should maintain, the way the poisons are to be kept in custody, the method of inspection of the poison. Importation of poison without a payment is strictly prohibited. So, no person can import this, you know, without a proper license and without registering himself. Now, which are the substances which are deemed to be poisonous? So, these are the list of substances like aconite, aconine, alkaloids, arsenic, atropine, belladonna, coca, corrosive sublimate, cyanide of potassium, dimorphine, also known as heroin, and diethyl barbituric acid, or digitalis, digitaline, econine, lead, morphine, persuic acid, savine and its oils, stratofantine, tartar emetic, tetraethyl lead. Legislation for tobacco control. So, we have typically seen a lot of positive move by the government and the concerned authorities in banning tobacco related products, like we have seen the recent ban on gutkha in the last few years, because a lot of cases of tobacco cancers, typically in people as young as say maybe 18, 20 years of age. So, it is very important to make the people aware of the ill effects of tobacco. So, in India, if you see, as early as 1975, The Cigarette Act, which made it mandatory for all manufacturer of persons trading in cigarettes to display the warning that cigarette smoking is injurious to health. And on all cartons or packets of cigarette, if you see, typically this warning was given. But despite that, you know, people used to consume it. The recent move towards banning a particular product, yes, that's a very positive move. The limitations of the current warning label needs improvement in areas of scope, languages, rotation of messages. So languages which are which people can understand, color, size and position, preferably with pictures so that you know it's more understandable. Visibility and legibility. Recently, the scope of Prevention of Food and Adulteration Act has expanded to cover chewing of tobacco, as I just mentioned. Pan masala and supari, which are, you know, like silent killers over a period of time, because they also contain some, you know, you might just say this is a pan masala, but if it contains some kind of tobacco products, you never know, and over a period of time, it might cause oral cancer. These products need to bear the statutory warning that chewing of tobacco is injurious to health, chewing of pan masala may be injurious to health on all respective packages, and this should be done in advertisements also. So nowadays, if you see, typically all the movies, they have those messages coming along that tobacco products can kill, or when a scene where the person is smoking, that smoking is injurious to health. So these are all the positive measures which the government has taken in recent times, so that people are made more and more aware of this. The Narcotic Drugs and the Psychotropic Substances Act 1985. This is an act to consolidate and amend the laws relating to narcotic drugs to make stringent provisions for the control and regulation of operations relating to narcotic drugs and psychotropic substances and for matters concerned therewith. The Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances Act 1985 provides determined punishment for those who contravene themselves by provisions of this act by engaging themselves in the manufacture, sale, purchase, transport, etc. of narcotic drugs and psychotropic substances like coca, opium, cannabis and psychotropic substances. So what are the punishments? The punishment provided is rigorous imprisonment for a term which shall not be less than 10 years. It can extend to 20 years also and shall be liable to fine which should not be less than 1 lakh rupees, but which may extend to 2 lakh rupees. I wish if this could be increased much more. Where a contravention relates to ganja or the cultivation of cannabis plant, the punishment prescribed is rigorous imprisonment for a term which may extend to 5 years and should also be liable to fine and which may extend to 50,000 rupees. Whereas contravention relates to cannabis other than ganja, the punishment is rigorous imprisonment for 10 years which may extend to 20 years with a fine ranging from 1 lakh and which may extend to 2 lakh rupees also. In case of repeat offense, the Act provides for every subsequent offense rigorous imprisonment for a term which shall not be less than 15 years and which can extend up to 30 years and shall be liable to a fine which shall not be less than 1,50,000 rupees and which can extend to rupees 3 lakhs also. Thank you.